Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. We'll start there. I want to talk about probably not the most thrilling subject to some people, but it's a good subject. If it's in the Word, you know it's a good subject. I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for your great concern. But, you know, it's something we need to get a hold of. You know, because a lot of the teaching today, and I'm not talking about just the church, but I'm just talking about in our country, probably other countries too, but particularly here in America, is that character doesn't mean a thing. And character means everything. You know, and there is some of this going on in the church, you know, talking about we're saved by grace, so it doesn't matter how we live or what we do. Nothing could be further from the truth. And it's actually, it's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that Jesus rebuked in the book of Revelation. And their teaching was that, you know, it came from Nicholas, you know. And he taught that doctrine that it didn't matter. You know, you're saved by grace, your spirit, you're saved, and it's just your flesh, whatever it does. You know, it just does, and it's separate from your spirit, and it doesn't matter. Well, I just got to tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. And Jesus said he hated that doctrine. That's what he told the church in Revelation. He said, that doctrine, I hate it. That's pretty strong words. And so character counts, amen? And so let's go here to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at, some things about this tonight. In Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. You know, God wants us to have joy. You know, Brother Jody's preaching on rejoicing. You know, rejoice means redo, redo, redo. So keep your joy up. Praise God. God wants us to have joy. You know, sometimes we think, well, it doesn't matter whether I have joy or not. But did you know we have to live with you? So it does matter. You know, I was like, you know, the Lord dealt with me. He said, you don't have a right to have a bad attitude around people and be grumpy, you know, and all. Because you're affecting them. And they have to be around you. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God's not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it goes on to say, Paul said, he that serves God in these things is accepted of men and of God. Yes. What does that mean? Well, if we conduct our lives with righteousness, which means we just do what's right because it's right, and we're at peace with people, not just the peace of God inside of us, that's true, but peace with people. See, there's twofold to this, what you have inside you and what you're projecting with other people. And we walk with joy. We're not gloomy, grumpy, down in the mouth people. Nobody likes to hang around people. A guy said to me one time, I may be a little punchy tonight. Is that all right? I didn't even have any Cheerios today. But a guy said to me one time, he said, you know, he said he was all upset at the churches. He said, my wife's been to 4 churches and none of them get along with her. So, you know, I said, well, the common denominator here is your wife, not the churches. Wake up. That's good preaching. Well, wouldn't you see it that way? I mean, you know, and see people, you know, well, I can't understand why I don't have any friends and why nobody wants to be around me. Well, just record yourself for 24 hours and see if you want to be around you. So you got to check up on these things. Am I operating in joy? Am I somebody that's pleasant to be around, you know? Or am I always grumpy, griping, complaining about gas prices? You know. Hey, they've gone up. Did you notice that? Well, you know, guess what? We got better things to do than complain. We got something to be thankful. Just thank God you got the money. Amen. I think it was Dr. Dufresne said one time he was complaining about the gas prices. I think they were about $4 back then, and the Lord rebuked him. You know, it's like, you know, you cheapskate. I mean, the Lord didn't say that. I'm adding that. But anyway, basically, you know, he's just getting on to him and telling him, you're bellyaching about $4. Just pay it and shut up. Don't I supply your needs? Then what's it matter? If he supplies them, why does it matter whether, you know, we don't want it high. You don't understand. I'm not foolish. But if it gets that high, guess what? You know, if God supplies your need. I mean, either he does or he don't. So you just got to shut up about it. You know what I'm saying? Like one preacher said, he actually said this. This was years ago. I thought this was so funny and so good. He said he needed $100,000 for his ministry. And he said he needed it like now, you know. And he said he's talking to the Lord and he's had on that whining voice, Lord, I need $100,000 and I need it now. He said the Lord spoke back to him and said, well, how much of it can you come up with? He said, none of it. He said, then shut up about it if I'm going to have to do it all. You don't think God would say that? Read your Bible. You know, when they were coming out of Egypt and the Egyptians were pursuing them, and Moses, you know, starts talking to God. God said, why are you crying to me? Go on. Remember Joshua laying on his face? God said, get up from there. All right, anyway, it's in the Bible. Just read it sometime. It's a good book. Hallelujah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. Verse 22, it's peace. It's long-suffering. Amen. That means you put up with stuff. You suffer long. It's gentleness, or some translations say kindness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance or self-control. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ, some of you are Christ in here tonight, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means if you've come to Jesus, it means you've turned from that. Right? You've turned from that. See, that's one of the things that happened to me when I got born again. You know, I understand when you first get saved, you don't know anything. And I just really thought, and I know this sounds arrogant, it sounds prideful, but it wasn't that way. It meant that way at all when I first got saved. But I just thought, man, I've really given stuff up for God here. I mean, I give up Pabst Blue Ribbon. You know, I give up Bacardi's and Coke, Canadian Club. I give up all this, all the dope. I thought, man, I've given a lot up for God. It was just stupid. I just thought, man, wow, I'm committed here. And it wasn't long until God began dealing with me about my attitudes, my words, the way I talked to people or approached people or said things. And I found out I didn't have it all together. And I still had some rough edges. Amen. You know, kind of like in those days, I preached this, believe God or die, dummy. You know, and you just had to grow. You know what I'm saying? You had to, after you went through some stuff, after you went through some trials and some tests, you begin to have a little bit more compassion on people, you know. You know, oh my gosh, you know what I'm saying? How many are following what I'm saying? So anyway, you know, the Lord began to deal with me about the fruit of the Spirit and about walking in these things. And so if you are Christ, it says you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It simply means that once you gave yourself to Jesus, you turned away from that. You turned away from the flesh. You turned away from it. Now, this is a scripture. I think Pastor Chuck was reading this last Wednesday. I think he either read it or he quoted it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think you read that, didn't you? Or did you just quote that? You just quoted that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, he was talking about what that means to walk in the Spirit. Well, it means to march in rank or to stay in step with the Spirit of God. Amen. See, we got saved, we're in the Spirit. Now we have to stay in step with Him. How would He do things? How would He respond to people? Well, I've come to know, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, it's the character of Jesus Christ. You know, when you get saved, you know, God told Israel, He said this, He said, when you come into the land, the promised land, the land of promise, He said, don't let any of the inhabitants stay, because if you do, there'll be thorns in your side and pricks in your, there'll be thorns in your flesh and pricks in your side. Now that, you know, that to me, you know, in the new covenant, that just means when we get saved, we're supposed to get rid of those old inhabitants that were living there with us. Right. You know, that live the way we're supposed to kick them out, because if we don't, they're going to cause us problems. Now, you know, when you get saved, now listen to this. I don't have time to teach on this tonight, but just trust me with this. When you get saved, everything that God has belongs to you. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? But did you know there's a big difference in it belonging to you and God allowing you to have it all just right now? Right? See, I know this. I just know this. I've learned this by experience in pastoring people, that sometimes they're not ready. I'm not just picking on people. That goes for all of us. Sometimes we're not ready for what God has for us. He has to get us ready. And I've told this story over and over and over again, but I'll never forget it, man. I'll never forget when I was working with Brother Eddie, and he was a senior pastor, and I was associate pastor. And I was working with him. I'll never forget a person coming up on the prayer line and wanting he and I to agree with them, or it might have been after church, I don't remember. But they wanted us to agree with them that they'd get a better job, and he and I agreed with them for a better job. And they got it. And guess what? We didn't see them for 6 months. They bought a boat, man, and was out gone on the boat all summer at Patoka Lake or someplace. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, we are never... You know, he's a senior pastor, so yes, sir. He said, we are never agreeing for anybody to get a better job again. You hear me? See, yes, sir. You know, you want a better job, get it yourself. You know, now I pastor this church, I can do it now, but I couldn't there because he said, don't do it. Amen. And fortunately, I don't remember who it was, but anyway, I just remember that incident. But see, what happened? They weren't ready. They weren't ready. They weren't ready to handle the blessing. And, you know, I'm convinced of that. There's a lot of people who had enough money, they'd get out of the will of God. They'd go move somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Amen. They'd get out of the will of God. They'd leave a church. God planted them in. You know, God just doesn't plant you in a church. He plants you with a pastor. See, the Bible says God gave, in Corinthians, God gave to every man a minister. And so if you leave that, then you get out of the plan and the will of God, see. Now, you know, I know sometimes things like that can get aborted. Maybe the minister goes cuckoo or crazy, goes off the rails, and there's nothing else you can do. Well, that's you know, God works it all out. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Remember the mess Joseph got in to get to, get to Egypt? Yeah. Who wants to go through that? Was all of that God? I don't know. We know God sent him, but you know, when Joseph was rehearsing with his brothers, he said, you guys did it. You meant it for evil. He said, but God meant it for good. And what that means, where it says God meant it for good, meant God wove it to good. You guys were, it wasn't like God having you do these nasty things to me so I could get here. God could get him here without his brothers turning on him. But what it really means when he said God meant it for good, you look it up in the Hebrew, God wove it for good. He took it and started weaving something, and it turned out really good. I mean, God will, if you're on God's side, man, and you're in faith, God will take all the bad circumstances that come your way, and he'll work it for your good. You remember that scripture? Because you should remember, because it's on every coffee cup. It's in the Bible bookstore, you know, every other one. And God, you know, and all things work together for good to those that love God who are called according to his purpose. They pull that scripture out and say, everything happens to you is working for your good. No, it's not. You have to read the whole thing. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Okay, the first thing you got to ask people is, do you love God? Oh, yeah, I love God, Pastor. Okay, well, good. What about, are you called according to his purpose? Well, I don't know what his purpose is. We'll see there. You don't even know what the verse means. You read it and it says his purpose was who he foreknew, he preordained to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
That was his purpose. Yeah. So if we're loving God and we're letting God conform us to the image of his Son, then anything comes our way, God will weave it to good. If we'll just stay in faith. You follow that? So it's not like a blanket promise, you know, like everything comes your way. If cancer comes your way, well, God meant it for good. I mean, he's doing something good out of this. Well, good can come out of it, but it doesn't mean God sent it or he had anything to do with it. Sure, he can work good out of anything. Amen. So we have to make sure now that we're working on this part, you know, not just, sometimes we get caught up in the blessing, but we're working on this part of how am I supposed to respond? How am I supposed to act? What's my character supposed to be? Now, he went on to say, verse 25 again, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, keep cadence, as Pastor Chuck was saying, keep step with the Spirit. In other words, well, how do you keep step with the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is, right? See, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. So if you walk in these things, you're keeping step with the Spirit. Because that's His fruit. Amen. Amen. So, well, Pastor, how do I do this? I mean, well, it's not all that hard. Go to 2 Chronicles, if you would. Let's go over there. Let's talk about how do we walk in this? How do we walk in this, the fruit of the Spirit? Is anybody ever tempted not to walk in the fruit of the Spirit? Has anybody ever not walked in the fruit of the Spirit? Like today? I'm preaching this message, and I had to repent over some things today. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I'm 60, and he's still working on me. I mean, he's still working on all of us, right? But now that does not give us reason just to be sloppy. Well, who'd you get mad at today? Inanimate objects. It wasn't people. It was stuff. But I still don't have any right to get mad at stuff. Okay, that hit a stump. How do we do this? Well, it's really not all that hard, because guess what? If you are Christ, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's already done. When you came to Jesus, that part of you was crucified. Amen. It was put to naught, see. Now, does that mean it doesn't exist? Oh, no. Now, Roy Hicks, who used to be over the head of Foursquare, he's a great man of faith. He used to say it like this. He said, there are two natures within my chest. One is cursed, one is blessed. One I love, one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Now, what did he mean by that? We're schizophrenic? Well, no. When we were born again, our spirits were born again. They're not dual-natured. But what he's saying is there's still the flesh that still has the propensity to sin. Now, that's obvious by reading Paul's writings. He said, the things which we do, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't want to do. And so I don't know who's doing this. And I'm thinking, if you don't know, how do I know? You know what I'm saying? You ever read that in Romans? You think, wait a minute, Paul. It's like a bad day here. No, he's really explaining something here. He's explaining that there is still part of you that wants to do things that are not aligned with God's word. And you have to keep it under. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. See, if you read the whole context of what he's saying there in Romans, he's simply letting us know that we got a new spirit man, but our flesh hasn't been born again yet, hasn't been redeemed. We don't have glorified bodies, and so our flesh still wants to do things wrong, and you need to let the inner man rule, see? Right? See, you can't, I can't believe I, would have be tempted to do that or tempted to do that. Oh, you can be tempted to do anything, brother and sister. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are without sin. And he didn't even have any bad nature in him at all. He was born of a virgin. You understand? I mean, he was pure through and through, man. He had never sinned. He had no fallen nature. But yet flesh is flesh. Now, he was tempted to do, to fulfill legitimate desires in illegitimate ways. You know, you can have legitimate desires, but they have to be fulfilled in legitimate ways, And that happened with Jesus, like different things that the devil tempted him to do. Amen? See, there wasn't, I hope you understand what I'm saying. See, you can have legitimate, how many eating's a legitimate desire? But there's wrong ways to go fulfill it. I mean, go lifting stuff off the grocery store shelves and stuffing it in your pocket and trying to walk out with it is the wrong way to do it. Right? Sex is a legitimate desire. That was really weak. But I don't know if you know this or not, but God's the one that came up with this idea. It was a good idea. It's real quiet now. I ain't saying a word, Pastor. But there's that desire is there. Listen, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Now, what's that verse tell you? It's just very plain. A man should be attracted to a woman. When a man finds a woman, hey, come on. Help me understand. See, that verse is really a revelation that our society needs. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Men are supposed to be attracted to women. God made women in a different way that he made men. For a reason. Women are supposed to be attracted to men. Sexual desire is of God. What he said is don't fulfill it till you get married. Right? If you want to have sex with that woman, you want to have sex with that man, marry. That's just what the Bible says. You know, marriage is honorable all, and the bed undefiled. But did you notice marriage came before the bed? Hebrews chapter 13. See, so I'm just making a point. See, as we go through life, if we're going to have good character, we got to stay in cadence. As Pastor Chuck said, I love that. You got to stay in cadence with the Spirit. We got to walk with Him. In other words, if you're led of the Spirit, remember Romans, you're not under the law if you're led of the Spirit. Why? Because if you just stay in cadence with the Spirit, you don't even need the law. You don't even need to know it because He'll cause you to do the right things if you just listen to Him, follow Him. See, that's what that Scripture means. We use it for a lot of things and nothing wrong with it, where it says, you know, if you be led of the Spirit. You know, those as many as are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. Well, that's just talking about following the Spirit, man. It's the same thing we're talking about here in Galatians. Being led, walking in march step with the Spirit of God. Praise God. Operating in the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Instead of being ugly and mean, nasty, and, you know, a sour or whatever person. I mean, you're yielding to the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, Christians think unless I feel it, it isn't real. Listen, it's real whether you feel it or not. It's called faith. There's realities that we don't necessarily feel. I don't always feel like being joyful. I don't always feel like being happy. I don't even always feel like doing the kingdom work. But it doesn't matter. I'm led by the Spirit. Amen. So look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. You got it? 2 Chronicles 30, you have it? All right. Verse 8, it says, but be ye not stiff-necked. You know what that means? You won't turn. As your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Did I give you the right scriptures? All right. But you notice it said, yield yourselves to the Lord. Interesting thing, Paul said the same thing in Romans talking about, well, you know, following the Spirit. He said, yield yourselves unto God. Don't yield yourselves unto unrighteousness. Yield yourselves unto God. What does that mean? Well, it's a matter of yielding. That means, in other words, when I face situations in life, I have a choice what I'm going to yield to. Am I going to yield to the fruit of the Spirit, or am I just going to be mean and ugly? Hallelujah. Now, what do I do when I do yield to the wrong thing? Well, I repent of that. I get that out of my life. I was at work one time, many years ago, and this person at work made me angry, and I yielded to the flesh. You know what happened? When I got done, you know what I had to do? I had to repent to me. I had to repent to God. I mean, not to me. I had to repent to God. I had to repent to my foreman, and I had to repent to this person. It had just been better not to yield. See what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that if we sow to the flesh, we reap what? Corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. Amen. It never is going to work out. You have to know that. It's just never going to work out when you sow to the flesh. Amen. I know people that are still dealing with things that they sowed 2 years ago. Now, God's forgiven them. You understand? God's forgiven them. But what they did, it brought bad fruit in their life. They're still dealing with it all these years later. You know, now God forgives you. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes you have consequences in the natural that you have to deal with. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about, this isn't pleasant, but I don't know, maybe I should say it, maybe I shouldn't. But I'm thinking about a minister that I knew that, you know, just one night, he decided to have whatever you want to call it, with another woman. And I mean, it just messed him up for years. And one night, one thing. But guess what? That was yielding to the wrong thing. See, you don't yield to the, if you don't yield to the Spirit, well, what fruit of the Spirit should you yield to there? Well, the Bible calls self-control. Control yourself, man. This is wrong. Do like Joseph did. Throw your coat down and run. No, don't do like Joseph. Grab your coat because they'll use it against you. Grab your coat and run. Amen. So what happened now, years later, he was still dealing with the fruit of that. Now, had God forgiven him? Absolutely. Was it covered by the blood? Yeah, absolutely. He repented. He got it right. But the thing of it is you still got the residue of it that you know, Paul, when he said you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You still got the harvest of it. Amen. And so you have to just realize that we're supposed to stay in step with the Spirit all the time. Amen. Yield. Everybody say yield. That means I have a choice to yield either to, you know, the devil and my flesh, or I have a choice to yield to God. It's my choice. And I choose. We need to choose to yield to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go there. If you would. 1 Corinthians 10. Come on. Are you getting anything tonight? I mean, sometimes I don't know, you know, whether I'm helping you or not, but I hope I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, you know, Paul said it like this, you know, because right now we're living in, in my opinion, at least as long as I've lived, we're living in some of the hardest times to be nice that there is. I mean, if your fruit hasn't been tested over the last few years, then you're good. You're really good. And mine's been tested a lot. And if you haven't had to repent over your mouth in the last few years, then you're pretty good, man. But I've had to repent. I've had my fruit tested, you know. But Paul said something in Romans that's really good when you think about it. He said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, if what somebody does to you brings you down to their level, you've been overcome. You've been overcome. And so it's just real easy, you know, to get into it with people, you know, over politics and over, you know, because some of the issues that we're facing are pretty dear to us. Yes. Right? Yes. They mean a lot. Yeah, they mean a lot to our country.
That's right.
Right? Yes. But the best way to tackle them is do it by the way the Bible says. And we don't have to go there and sling mud. Yeah. Right? We don't have to be ugly, mean, nasty. Amen. We can do it in a way that we're not that way. Amen. Well, and so we have to find that path where we don't get down on their level. It's like I was talking about Roy Hicks a while ago, but I like something that his wife said one time. You know, they had another minister attack him and his wife and say a lot of ugly things about them that wasn't true, you know, but it was just lies. And so, you know, Dr. Barclay, because Roy Hicks is a spiritual father to Dr. Barclay. Dr. Barclay went to, you know, Foursquare Bible College, Life Bible College, and Brother Hicks was over Foursquare, and he was a Bible teacher in the college. And so they were close. And so he called one time, and Dr. Hicks's wife Margaret answered the phone, and so Dr. Barclay tells her, he says, you know, he called her mom. He said, I'm praying for you guys and all, and you know, just wanted you to know that. She said, oh, Mark, it could be a lot worse. He said, how's that? She said, we could be the people spreading the rumors. I thought that was good. It could be a lot worse. We could be in a lot worse shape. We could be the ones doing it. That's overcoming evil with good. Amen? And so we have to watch it that in these days, because character means everything. I want to show you a scripture. Did you go to Corinthians? Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to show you scripture here. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to think about this. Now, this is the children of Israel after they've come out of Egypt. And it says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant that how all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And notice this, "And did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples." Everybody say, our examples. Our examples. So what happened? These people were our examples to the intent that we should not lust or desire evil things as they also lusted. Now he's talking about these the children of Israel here, and he talks about the experiences that they had. I mean, they the cloud and the sea. In other words, the cloud. Remember the Bible talked about the cloud by night or the cloud by day, the cloud of God. They went through the sea as by dry land. It talks about they did all eat the same spiritual meat, manna from heaven. Wow. And then later quail. And then they all drank of the same spiritual drink. That water flowed out of a rock, and they drank of that. Are you getting this?
Yes.
When's the last time we had church like that? That's some church, folks. That's some spiritual experiences. Isn't it? That's some power. But it didn't get them in the promised land. Why? Because they lacked character. They murmured. They complained. After all, God did. You know, even manna. The King James says that they said they loathed this light bread. Well, I do too. I don't like light bread either. I like it all in there. Amen. I like bread, you know, you can slap somebody with it and it doesn't just wilt over, you know. Yeah, it's got something in it, man. But anyway, the New King James Version says this. This is something. It says this, where the King James says they loathe this light bread. It says they loathe this worthless bread. Can you imagine that? Something God provided, call it worthless. They had some character problems in that group. Are you with me now?
Yes.
It's no wonder God said, "I want to kill them all." This is God. You talk about somebody that walks in the fruit of the Spirit. You think God does? But that day, he said, "I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to start over with you, Moses." Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Wow. That's hot. And Moses stood before him and interceded on their behalf and said, "Lord, if you kill them," he said, "all the Egyptians are going to say you couldn't get, the reason you killed them is because you couldn't get them into the promised land." Boy, Moses knew how to, man. He knew how to plead his case, didn't he? He's telling God, this is going to make you look bad because everybody's going to say, well, the only reason he killed them is because he didn't have the power to get them in there. And so he just killed them out here because he couldn't get the job done. That's what Moses told God. And God said, "I'm going to start over with you, you know. I'm going to start over with you." And he finally got him. He said, "Do you remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" In other words, you didn't promise the seed would come from me. You said it would come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You kill all those people and start with me. You've broken your covenant. You gave that covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says God changed his mind. Hallelujah. You think God's changed his mind about us a few times?
Yes.
Probably has, right? Amen. You know, thank God for his mercy, right? But guess what? See, we're living in a day when we're being taught character doesn't matter, character doesn't count, but I'm telling you, it does matter. It matters in our leaders. It matters in our church leaders. It matters in the pews. it matters. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. I mean, come on. It matters. It really matters. You know? All right. Now, let's, I tell you what, we got a little bit of time here. Let's go, I think, to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you something here. So they didn't get into the promised land because of their character. So they didn't. Now, listen, it wasn't a lack of spiritual power. They had power. It wasn't a lack of spiritual experiences. It's a lack of character. So we have to make sure character isn't keeping us out of the fullness of the blessing that God has for us. A lack of character, that is. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll close right here. Did you get something tonight?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Just talking about the fruit of the Spirit, how we need to yield to it. Amen. This is a needed message, I'm telling you. In our day, it really is needed because, you know, you see some of the decisions, you know, that are made, even in our country, and you think, how can people be that stupid? But here's the reason. Because the God of this world's blinded their minds. So, and you and I, at one time, were that blinded before we met Jesus Christ. Yeah, I look back at some of the things I did and I think, how could I have done that? How could I have been that blind? But it's because of the darkness that's on your eyes, see? All right? So that's, now listen. So we have to understand that, you know, because like you have to have help to get that dumb. Nobody gets that dumb on their own. Really, seriously, when you think about this, our country is like, I don't know what the figure is now, like $22-23 trillion in debt. So what do? We spend more money. Did you know, if you're in debt, the first thing you got to do is what? Stop spending, right? But yet, we're giving money to other countries. We don't have any money to give to other countries. We don't, so somebody's dumb. And it's not me. I've got this figured out now. See, and not all of them are either. Some of them don't like it either. But there's too many. There's a vast majority that they don't understand. They don't even know what bathroom to go to. They don't know how to tell what sex you are. They think you got to wait to find out. Honey, in my day, as soon as you came out, they could tell. It's stamped on you. There's some plumbing that tells you. But yet we got leaders of our country that are so deceived and so they don't even know how to tell what sex you are. They know if you can tell. Matter of fact, they say, are you a male, are you a female, are you a other? What are you, a male, female, or a gorilla? What are you? They ain't but two. This is offensive and, you know, eventually Facebook will take us out. But for now, they don't know about us. So anyway, until that day, we'll just preach it on there, right? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you think you laugh, but there's a day coming when we're gone. All of us are. That doesn't mean we won't have another platform, but it won't be Facebook unless the guy gets saved. Right? It's just the truth, folks. Might as well just wake up with this and quit crying about it and sucking our thumb. Like a lot of Christian leaders are doing. Like, oh my gosh, we're getting persecuted. Well, what did the Bible say? It said you would. Grow up, pull your bottle out and act like a man. Pull your britches up. Walk like John Wayne. Well, they're persecuting us. Well, what do you think is going to happen? I don't like it any better than you do, but I'm not threatened by it.
That's right.
What'll happen? Well, somebody will come along with another platform, maybe Trump, I don't know. And we can all preach on it and say what we want to say. Well, you don't think that's how? I mean, man, Amazon's having a book burning right now, digital book burning. They're burning Christian books. Wake up, folks. That has any common sense about sexuality. Anyway, that's good preaching. Nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit, but hey! I'm just talking about how blind, you know, and so you got to understand, that's a devil, man, doing that stuff. You can't get that dumb on your own. I've been on this earth over 60 years and I've known how to tell the difference between a male and a female. I had a friend, he couldn't. at least when it comes to his dog. His initials was Greg Davis. He called, this has nothing to do with the message, and I promise to close after reading the scripture and shouldn't say this, but anyway, here we go. He called me. He had a dog, man. This is years ago when we were traveling in the ministry and they were going with us, you know. And we came home from meeting one night and it was late, you know, and he had a dog named Sam. He and I built a doghouse for Sam one time. It was so bad, Sam wouldn't even go in it. We had to throw Sam in there. Get in there, dog. Sam's like embarrassed to live here, man. But Greg and I started with no plan. We just started from scratch. Just, man, this looks good. Put this on there. Sam will appreciate this, I'm sure. Sam didn't like it. We came home from a meeting one time, and I think we got to their house about midnight, let them off. And so I get home to my house. And, of course, you know, it's those days before cell phones. So phone rings, and it's Greg. He said, you know, he said, when I got home, he said, I heard something coming from the doghouse. And he said, I went down there, and Sam had puppies. I said, Sam is now Samantha. I said, have you checked your kids? You know, we laugh at that, but you know, even the dogs know the difference between the male and the female, but we got politicians don't know the difference. You don't think that's not the devil deceiving? Yeah. You can't get dumb on your own. You got to have some help. Yeah. Amen. Did you find Ephesians chapter 4? You can throw this CD in the trash, whatever you want to do. It's got Ephesians chapter 4. Get with me to verse 26. The Bible says, be angry. I love that scripture, Pastor. Be angry. Well, there's more to that scripture. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So some things make you angry sometimes, right? But you're not supposed to live in a state of anger. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Notice this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, which means loud quarreling, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 1, chapter 5, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So what is being said here? Well, Paul is simply telling us that this is just one other way to say walk in the fruit of the Spirit. All these things he's talking about are connected to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's all connected to the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, if you don't do these things, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit whereby you were sealed. In other words, if you don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it grieves the Spirit. And when you grieve the Spirit, you shut off the power source. He's the power source. So what happened? You're just like Israel, you don't get into everything God has for you because the power source has been shut off. You don't get into the promised land, the fullness of what God has for you, because the power source has been shut off. So it's real important that every day as we're walking out there, we can't just be nasty because the world's nasty. We can't just be that way because they're that way. We can't just be mean and ugly because they're mean and ugly. The Bible says don't be overcome by that. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? You have to learn to yield. You're going to have choices all the time. What you're going to yield to? You're going to yield to the flesh, you're going to yield to the Spirit. You're going to yield to the fruit of the Spirit. And you're going to have these all the time. These come all the time. All the time. Amen? And so you have to learn that it takes a stronger person to yield to the fruit of the Spirit than it does to yield to the flesh. I mean, if you can put your flesh in its place, you are a strong believer. Because that's one of the last hurdles you're going to have. Is putting yourself in place. Amen. Your flesh. You know what I mean by yourself. Actually, the real you is the man on the inside, the spirit man. But you know what I mean by yourself. You still have a part of you got to put in place. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.